Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, January the 26th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, I was just listening, before we get to our topic, I was just watching a video from Dick Morris. You know, Dick Morris has been around for a while. He's done a lot of politics. He's worked for politicians. He does polling. He's got a column. I think he's got a TV show as well. And he just mentioned that in a very recent poll that came out about New Hampshire, the New Hampshire primary coming up a year from now, that President Joe Biden only got 24% of the vote. That when Democrats were, you know, basically asked to pick their 2024 nominee, their incumbent President Biden got 24% of the vote. And incumbent Vice President Harris got 6% of the vote. So that means a lot of Democrats don't like their choices, or their current incumbents, I should put it that way. So now, again, it's only one poll, and things are going to change, and a lot of things are going to change in a year. But that's obviously not good news if you're running the Joe Biden reelection campaign. That's not something you want to hear, that 7 out of 10 Democrats would rather have somebody else on the ticket than Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. That's not a good sign. Well, let's talk a little bit about our topic today, the Speaker versus Democrat. Speaker McCarthy, of course, who's been on the job for a couple of weeks. And I got to tell you, I'm very happy with the job he's doing. He's off to a great start. I congratulate the Speaker. You know, there were some questions there as to whether he could manage such a divided House, but so far he's doing a great job. And he is currently in a controversy with a couple of Democrat congressmen who he has basically not allowed, or he's taken off the Intelligence Committee. Now, first of all, the Speaker can do that. You know, we saw Nancy Pelosi, for example, do the same thing with the January 6th committee. She excluded a couple of Republicans from that committee. So, you know, the Speaker can do it. This is not the first time in the history of the Congress that the Speaker has done something like this. But these two in particular, Adam Schiff is one of them. The other one, I can't think of his name right now, but Adam Schiff in particular was one of the people running around, going on TV, going on radio, and constantly telling the media, let me do something here about my allergy, sorry about that, but constantly telling the media that he had seen evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, and he was one of the ones who was running around with that story, a story that was proved to be completely false. Not only was the Mueller investigation didn't reach any conclusion about that, but other stuff that has come out since. So Adam Schiff has no business being in an Intelligence Committee. So I applaud the Speaker for what he's doing. And yes, it is payback, because Speaker Pelosi did it to Republicans. But I think in this case, it goes beyond that. I think in this case, it really goes, sorry about that. In this case, it really goes beyond that. I think it really goes to the essence of who Adam Schiff is. He's just not a very good man. He's a liar, basically. And I guess as long as he gets reelected in his district, you know, we got to put up with him. But the truth of the matter is that if you can keep him out of the Intelligence Committee, go right ahead and keep him, because that's you don't want this guy in the Intelligence Committee. You don't want him 1,000 miles from the Intelligence Committee. That's all I can tell you. Well, the document issue is one that I think we're beginning to see how this is all going to end up. And it's basically going to be a wash. That is, politically speaking, it's going to be a wash between President Biden and President Trump. There's not going to be any political benefit to one side or the other. I mean, clearly, when the Democrats and the Attorney General sent the FBI to President Trump's home, they thought they were going to destroy Trump with that move. But it has completely backfired on them, because now President Biden has a document problem. Now, again, both of these men are not, they're not going to pay for this crime because, frankly, it's a wash. It's a political wash. But I do think technically that President Biden may have a few bigger problems because of the fact that he had some documents from the Senate years, which I don't understand how he even has those. And then the other thing is that President Biden, as vice president, did not have the authority to take these documents, which is a little bit different from the president. The president has a little bit more option, has a few more options with documents that the vice president doesn't have. And this raises a question that I keep hearing from people. Where is President Obama in all of this? Why is President Obama in total, complete silence about this issue? Because the reality is that those documents that the vice president or Joe Biden had in his home, those documents actually belong to the Obama administration. So the fact that so far President Obama has been in total silence, you know, I guess you can interpret it whatever way you want. I interpret it because I think President Obama is pretty angry with Joe Biden that these documents were at his house and that he didn't know anything about it. That's how I interpret it, that I think President Obama is, President Obama is pretty angry with his successor, not his successor, but his Democrat successor, that these documents were found at his home. That's how I read it. And that's why I think President Obama has been so silent on this issue. I've got a post coming out Friday morning, and it has to do with a news story. Maybe some of you saw this. The Prime Minister of Japan has made a pretty amazing statement about his country. He's basically saying that the reproduction levels in Japan are a problem, and that if people in Japan do not start having more babies, that this is going to create all kinds of problems for Japan. Right? At the moment, the reproduction rates, or what they call birth rates, in Japan are like 1.3 or something like that, which is way below the 2.1 that you need to maintain a population. And what he's saying is that the population is getting older, meaning that these older workers are going to be need to be taken care of. They're living longer now, and they're going to have to be taken care of by social programs or medical programs or health care or whatever, and that the country does not have enough young people to pay the taxes or to support these programs. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. They're having the same problem in South Korea. They're having a similar problem in Europe, as you know, where you simply do not have enough babies to maintain your population. And the Prime Minister of Japan is calling it a national crisis. I don't think anybody else has gone as far as he has, but he's calling it a national crisis and that something has to be done soon, or otherwise it's going to be a real problem for Japan. And if you look at the numbers and in the article that I have coming out Friday morning, I share some of the numbers. I mean, the situation in Japan is pretty drastic. They're simply not reproducing or having babies, I guess. That's a nicer way of saying it. They're simply not having babies in numbers that would keep the population going. And the net consequence, of course, is that when you don't have new people coming in, then you've got this terrible disparity in your population. You've got a demographic crisis. I mean, they're having that in Europe already. They're having it in Europe. And of course, in Europe, what they've done is they've brought in people from some of the African countries and some of the Middle Eastern countries. And these people have come in huge numbers, and they are the ones who are working. But, you know, you do run a risk when you bring in people from other cultures, particularly the Middle East cultures, where they may clash, let's say, with the Western culture or whatever, as we're seeing in many European countries like France. But I think it's remarkable for the Prime Minister of Japan to give a speech like that and to present the situation to his countrymen in such a stark fashion. I had never heard anybody speak like that about this demographic crisis impacting Japan and many other countries in the region. I guess China is also having a demographic problem. Now, of course, I think we know what happened in China. You know, this is when they were limiting the number of babies to one baby per woman, or one baby per married couple, I think it was. And in the case of South Korea, the situation is apparently similar to the situation in Japan, and that is where simply couples are not getting married, or if they do get married, they're simply choosing not to have babies. And I commend the Prime Minister of Japan for coming out and pointing out the problems with such a policy, how eventually all of that will impact the country. So it's a great point, great story. And it'll be available Friday morning, my new post coming out Friday morning. Let's talk a little bit about one of my very favorite people who is celebrating 88 years old today. So happy number 88 to Bob Uecker. Now, if you're a baseball fan, you know who Bob Uecker is. He's the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. He was also a player, but he's been better on the radio than he was as a player. If you're a movie fan, then you know who Bob Uecker is. He has been in some of these crazy baseball comedies like Major League and some of these other comedies that we've had here in the last few years. But Bob Uecker is also a very funny man. Bob Uecker is one of those people who can be funny about lots of different topics. And as a baseball announcer, he's been in Milwaukee, I guess, since the early 70s for much of the history of that franchise. And beyond that, he's a comedian. He used to be a lot on The Tonight Show, I remember, when Johnny Carson was there. But he's just a very funny guy. He's a very funny guy. And I want to say happy birthday to Bob Uecker, 88 years old. You know what's interesting about Bob Uecker? He was actually born in Milwaukee, the city where now he calls the games for the Milwaukee Brewers. So happy number 88 to Bob Uecker, a very funny guy. And if you want to get a taste of what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube and check out some of his videos, and you'll see what I mean. He's a very funny guy. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.